This is Patrick Ricey for the Canopy Group. We are coming up on St. Patrick's Day, the Luck of the Irish Day. Do you make practical decisions based on being lucky? Do you have one agent representing only one company for your home and auto insurance? Are you hoping they are lucky enough to have the best coverage at the best price for you? One single source? Really? At the Canopy Group, we wish you only the best of luck, but we also believe you deserve more than luck when it comes to your home and auto insurance. The Canopy Group process carefully selects their 40 professionals and hand selects their 16 companies to then run thousands of different insurance scenarios each month for you. This due diligence and hard work results in the best coverage at the best price for Canopy clients. Remember, new clients enjoy an average savings of over $800 annually. That's annually. Contact the Canopy Group today at 800-967-3389 or visit them online at thecanopygroup.com.
Always fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Ricey Unchained.
Patrick Ricey, what is going on?
A nice weekend for Gopher basketball, 2-0. They won a game, and they moral victoried again.
Oh.
After getting behind 27, we were all proud of the comeback, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody asked, how the hell did you get down 27? It was...
I saw part of it. It was awful.
Oh, they were terrible.
Yep.
That team, though, is very volatile. I wish I could remember who they were playing now, though.
Indiana.
Indiana's been a flop this year, and they've done that all year. Did you see Mike Woodson, though, at the end of the game?
Yes.
He has learned from Juwan Howard. He gave the big howdy wave like the NBA and left.
Good for him.
He probably says, I don't need, he would probably know he wouldn't have any trouble with Ben Johnson or anybody, but I would think it's his, him trying to set an example for the other coaches, right?
Yes.
He was, first of all, he was disgusted with the way they played down the stretch, but he was gone down the steps right after the game.
That collapse was remarkable, by the way.
Oh! God, guard Peyton Willis.
Yeah.
Have somebody guard him.
No.
You know? Yeah.
They did nothing, too.
No timeouts. No.
They just kept letting him play.
Yeah. I think he's kind of a hard-nosed guy and was going to let them suffer the consequences. But they look like they have better players than their record.
Yes. Yeah, because they're what right now? Last four in, according to one bracket.
There's the seventh Big Ten team, I believe, behind Rutgers.
They look like they should be good, and they're really not that good.
Yeah.
For sure.
Rhys Thompson's, they're okay, but they're very erratic. They've had some bad home losses, too. So anyway, you got that victory. And I said this earlier. You think Whalen comes into the locker room before every game and says, well, what the hell you have in mind for me this today, girls? Are you going to shoot 23% or 48%? Which is it going to be?
Yeah.
Because they can play some of the worst basketball games in the history of mankind.
Yeah.
Now, Penn State's no good, and that Sissoko or whatever her name is has been terrible all year, and then she goes and gets 32 yesterday, and so does Scalia, who's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
And made a bunch of threes. But so they get a win, and we're proud of them because they don't have to play the first round.
I saw that, yeah.
We made the top 10 of the Big Ten. We're proud of that team, too, man. It was quite a glorious
day. They are a weird team, though.
Quite a glorious day. Oh, they're extremely weird. But it'll be interesting for our guy, Ben. He's eight seniors yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of those are you want back or coming back. Poor old Larry Curry's not coming back. And Peyton.
He's 42. He shouldn't come back.
I said on Twitter, this was his third senior day. He's, he's done a lot of senior days.
Yes.
And, but, you know, they got some recruits coming in. They got those two guys who sat out the year, the guy from Northern State, and then there's another guy that was hurt all year. But they need bodies. They got like 7-8 bodies now. They're gonna try to hit the transfer portal a little more successfully than they did this year. when I don't want to get a transfer, any more transfers from the Division III of Division I. You know, there's six. Any transfers from the top six conferences, I'll take them.
Okay.
Right?
But you're out on the...
I'm out on New Hampshire.
Trying to get the kids
I'm
from the...
I'm out on New Hampshire. I'm out on McGill University in Montreal.
Come on, it's a great Canadian university. What are you talking about?
I'm out on Bill and Mary. You know, I'm out on all those. I mean, God love them. They played okay. They were better than we thought. But, you know, we want guys. I've heard several commentators on the Big Ten play-by-play when the Gophers are on saying, well, they found transfers who fit the system. No, they found transfers who would show up, mm-hmm. who would come.
Because he didn't get a few.
Oh, he was thought he was going to.
The Marquette kid.
The Marquette kid, right? Darson Garcia, and a couple others that they thought they could get. And plus, a couple of those guys they couldn't believe left, too, that the big kid, Sam Freeman or whatever his name was, and then a couple of those guys that transferred.
That's one of the most remarkable things.
It was unbelievable. Where are they going? You can play in the Big Ten.
Yes, or you can play.
Or you can go to, you know, play for a bad Mountain West team. What the
That's
hell?
That's what I never got, though.
I didn't figure
because
it
they,
out.
They could have told all of those kids, here's how much you'll play.
Yes.
Like, you'll play a lot.
Yes.
And they still left.
Yeah, yeah. It was
And I don't
incredible.
Think Patino was that popular, so
it wasn't.
I'm pissed off my coach left.
I don't know what it was. They just, yeah, it was strange because, you know, okay, five or six of them leave.
Right, like
fine.
I got Carr. That didn't shock me.
You know,
Mashburn didn't shock me.
Carr would have been the worst possible player to have on a team like this.
Yeah.
Would have been the worst possible player.
Just jacked.
He would have taken 38 shots and pouted and, you know.
You know I what? Mean, he was bad for culture, Pat.
He's bad for
He would
culture,
have been bad man. For the culture.
He's bad for culture. But, I don't. You know, they got a. You look back at Gopher basketball since Clem left. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But we all talk about the fall off of Gopher hockey as far as interest is concerned. Basketball is in a hole that is going to be tough to dig out of.
They didn't sell out one
Patina.
Game, right?
Huh?
I don't think they sold out one home game.
No, there wouldn't have been any reason to, really.
Wisconsin probably drew pretty well, but because you got a bunch of Wisconsin fans can show up.
Yeah, I don't know. Meanwhile, I read, I saw a little bit of the game. I couldn't tell. But Randy Johnson in our paper described the crowd on Saturday night as raucous.
Yes.
At 10,000 and raucous, just like old times at Mariucci.
Motzko got that team righted.
8-0 the last 4 weekends.
Because the goaltender left and actually helped him,
yes,
which you wrote about.
Yes. This guy's numbers are way better than Fontaine.
LaFontaine was not that good this year. He was real good last year.
Sources with the Gophers who don't want to be quoted were saying that he wasn't playing as well as he had a year ago. He was just and you know why? Because he's a goalie. That's
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they can't be beat. And sometimes they're. I now call it the Jake Allen experience.
Sounds like a band.
Jake Allen went from single-handedly beating our feisty Wild, who had a good team, and making a playoff run, to not being able to stop a volleyball the next year and getting Yo fired, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he was a major up-and-down guy.
Yes, yeah. So they're goalies. That's, you know, how's Talbot right now? Are we worried about him?
No, we're worried about everybody out there. That was not good against Calgary on Saturday night.
I don't give you people tips on how to make money often. Because quite a few times in the past, I've been wrong. But the Wild beat Calgary here Tuesday night. Bet the Wild.
Okay.
Yeah. The Wild are going to beat Calgary here Tuesday night after the humiliation up there.
They're going to come back and they're going to be inspired.
What really upsets me, though, is our pulled goalie magic is out the window. Right?
Well, it had to end at some point.
I know. I guess.
I mean, it wasn't going to keep up for an entire season.
Is it now, the last two times?
Oh, we're giving up multiple goals.
Yeah,
Dean's going for broke. He don't care anymore.
Yeah, right. What, it was 5-3 And then they gave them two more, right?
Yep.
They kept the
7-3 was because against Florida, we could go Friday.
Same thing.
Empty net goals.
That's bad for the stat because the stat when I wrote that column was 12-6.
Mm-hmm.
12 scored, 6 given up, and since then it's. I think they might have one more. They had one. Was it against Florida? They had one when they pulled the goalie, and then they gave up to.
I think yes.
Yeah, somebody they had
on the power play. So it was 6-4.
6-4. They scored one. So let's switch to them now that we've covered Gopher sports. What it's just a little flat period here. 4 out of 5 is not. There have been times when losing 4 out of 5 didn't seem major. I don't know. I think our expectations were so high. We're now very upset about this. What are you seeing?
I think it's what happens now. What I'm seeing is they look tired. And here's the problem too. Calgary has this, and Florida does too. It used to be their kryptonite was speed, right? Like if they played a speedy team because they basically had a roster of guys that couldn't keep up. Now, speed's not as much the kryptonite as a team with speed and is physical. Calgary and Florida will kick your ass and outskate you.
Really?
Yes. Okay. And so I guess my, because the Toronto game, there were certain guys that didn't play great, but that was not a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, but the key thing, Pat, with this franchise for years has been when they go into a slide, they don't come out.
Now what they have on their side is they're basically home for the month of March, right?
Yes.
They have many games,
yes.
Most of them at home. They're really right now really imbalanced as far as home and road games.
And
right?
They're going to make up for that in March.
And they
have a ton of games in the
even
month,
before Florida beat them, hadn't they? They hadn't lost in regulation at home since
sometime in November, I think.
Wow. So, yeah. You would think home is going to help them, and they're going to straighten out. But if the goalie questions start, then you don't know. I mean, but are they going to start alternating those two guys or what if Talbot keeps
struggling? They were struggling. Before, and then Talbot struggled, and so Kapo started in Toronto and played well, played fine. And so they brought Kapo back on Saturday against Calgary. And it wasn't his fault necessarily, but I mean, they just looked terrible.
How did Calgary get this good? All of a sudden, they're on.
You know who their coach is now again, don't you?
No,
Daryl Sutter.
Really, they brought him back
last year. They were
no,
off.
Well, he wasn't in Edmonton, right?
No, he was on the ranch in Viking. He had retired.
Oh well. Did they retire him, right, because he was too mean, basically?
Yes. Yeah. The Kings fired him. I think he won 2 cups there. And he was too mean, so he got fired, went home to the ranch, just kicked some ass on the ranch, and then Calgary's like, we're desperate, and so he's back playing Sutter hockey.
Well, he's Jacques Demers. 4-year contract and a 2-year act, as Sodmore used to say.
Amen.
And
it's great. He has no interest in good plays, by the way.
And he has no interest in the guys with the tape recorders.
Nope.
He is the surliest. Can I use the word prick? He is the surliest prick I have ever tried to get a quote out of.
Yes.
In hockey, that's saying something because there's a lot of them. But I remember I was going to do something on it. Was, no chance. No chance.
He tries to leave before you get downstairs sometimes.
Well, yes. Plus, I saw that one time, and they grabbed him.
Jess Myers went crazy. He was so upset.
They grabbed him. But if you're asking questions and there's an 8-second delay, he's gone.
Correct.
As soon as his last word from the previous answer is finished, you better be ready to fire, else he's going.
Mm-hmm.
He does not need – he's like Zim. When Zim's mad, he's going to leave as soon as there's a hesitation.
The pregnant pause, he's out.
Yes, right. Yeah, I didn't know they brought him back. Has he been how long, all year?
Yeah. Yeah, they brought him back. They fired their coach and signed him to a multi-year contract during last season.
Well,
and he's been there, and they've been great.
Uh-huh.
It works. It works for, to your point, 2
for
years.
For a while, yeah.
Goudreau's playing great. Everybody's absolutely shocked.
Yeah.
He's playing outstanding. And the whole thing is...
Who is?
Goudreau.
Oh, okay.
But the whole thing with him is, I don't want to see, I don't care if they're pretty plays. I don't want to see you. Don't try and, you know, don't try and do too much. I want to get the puck, possess the puck, and kick ass.
Okay. Are they a dump and run and hit you team then? Or is that?
They can be, but yeah. I mean, they are just going to muck it up.
Oh, really?
They are going to muck it up. But they're winning. Mm-hmm. They've been prolific.
Who's their stud?
Goudreau is outstanding. And he had been off. He was not doing great, I think, the last 2 years. He's been great. They also signed Jacob Markstrom, the guy who was the goaltender for the Canucks. They signed him, I think, before last year. And he wasn't great, but he's been great. But, I mean, they look really good. They're fast and physical.
And meanwhile, Vegas.
They're a playoff team.
Meanwhile, Vegas unloads all that material to get Eichel. And they're not going to make the playoffs, baby.
Yeah, and Tuck. And they traded Tuck, and Tuck is a hell of a player.
Where was he Buffalo. In that trade? He was in that trade.
Yeah, Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, they got a lot back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's and you but, know,
but you, Pat, the entire playoff thing now, like it is as tight as can get.
We still don't have to worry about it.
You can't struggle too much longer.
They're still 15 games over 500 or something.
Yeah, like I know, 14. But the Predators, I believe, are a point behind them, and they're in the first wild card spot. Mm-hmm. So they could pass you. And then I think Dallas now is something like 5 points behind you.
We got a few in hand, don't we?
Yeah, we do, but I'm just saying, you got to get it straightened out here.
Okay, I got a question for you. What position does Forsberg play in Nashville?
Forward.
He's not a center.
I would have to look if they use him there. I don't think so.
But he's got 20. Wing, because he was.
He's got 20-some goals, like and he's available.
Yeah.
I heard he's available because they can't pay him.
See here.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna trade him,
he's,
though.
He's to, a wing.
I don't think they're going to trade him to a division foe, though, that is a point
behind
point
him.
Up on them in the playoff race.
But nice thing. We're speeding towards that NHL trade deadline. It's only 3 weeks away.
Yes.
The end of the season is about 3 weeks after that, right?
And it used to be, what, February like 27th or something like that?
But it's always been the latest.
And now they're just throwing it back.
It's always been the latest in sports. Uh-huh. You know? I suppose they get more business on the NHL network that day than any other day. So they just
huge. July 1 and that one. Yeah, no, July 1st when free agency
and just
opens.
Push it back.
TSN
what
is
do
just,
we care?
It's great. Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's and they'll be with the playoff race like this. There'll be 22, 23 trades, right?
Oh hell yeah, yeah.
We still going to get a center?
We don't know.
I don't know.
Or a goaltender? Maybe. I don't know what they're going to do. Or do you decide that you can't make a trade that's going to impact your team enough? I mean, I think that they need to do something, but they've got a few decisions. They've got more holes than they originally, I think, probably thought.
Well, Dean, now nobody got to see it, but Sarah posted a story about 2 a.m. Because of, you know, with the Saturday deadlines now, sure. We couldn't get the game in. But he let him have it pretty good after the Calgary game. He hasn't done that too often.
No.
But he was not
embarrassing,
happy.
Right?
He was embarrassing, yes.
Embarrassing, that's a pretty big word.
He leveled them. He let him have it.
They looked awful. They looked really bad. And he also didn't have, so they lost in Toronto on Thursday night. He gave them Friday off from practicing. And then they didn't have a morning skate on Saturday. So he thought that they would come back and look great. And they looked pretty damn lethargic.
I was driving back from St. Joseph, Minnesota, College of St. Benedict's on Friday night, listening to the end of the Wolves game where James Harden and Embiid. I think James has finally found his man, right? This is what he
looked great, yeah.
This is what he spent his whole career waiting for, the center who he just has to throw the ball to five times a quarter and then do anything else he wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have one of my new favorite things in Twin Cities media. Alan Horton, play-by-play, when they're getting their ass kicked.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah, he's phenomenal.
He slides in all these negative.
He doesn't
stats.
Hold back. It's no, so great.
It's,
I love it.
It's unbelievable. On the radio by himself.
His disgust is also palpable.
Yes, but then it's for, like I listened to 8 or 9 minutes, right, down the stretch. Yep. And the Wolves scored four points in a row, 6 points in a row. And he pointed out, yeah, but they've still been outscored 50 to 16 or something. Mm-hmm. But then it goes from disgust to humor. It goes from,
he's really good.
And then they apparently had a 5-minute review in a game that's 25 points. About some damn thing.
They
had some review, and he screamed, "What are you waiting for? Let's go here!" He's yelling. He's yelling loud enough, hoping they can hear him. What are you waiting for?
He's upstairs now a bit too. So, but he is phenomenal. I love it.
Great, yeah. And
he is not concerned about Bally Sports North's same rules.
I ran into him a couple weeks ago there, and I'd heard. When I was driving back from Iowa, I listened to them, and they were having another stinker. And I said, your hopes and dreams of being on Bally Sports North went out the window when you were ripping the hell out of them. Oh, that was the night they got lost to Sacramento. When they got outscored 34-11.
Oh, yeah, you told me about,
somebody just lit them up.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, you ain't going to make it at BSN, baby. You're not going to replace the Benzer.
No.
And it's...
too much honesty.
You see some of it in the NBA. The one guy, and sometimes I think the NBA, the pace at which it goes, and if one competent guy is the way to go, rather than have him stop and have some dummy repeat exactly what he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's you used to think, boy, are they cheap. They don't have a color commentator with them after a while.
But and they were, but that's okay.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's
Horton has perfected that, though. The rat-tat-tat of the play-by-play ripping somebody. I'm so with you. It's so great.
Yeah, it was terrific the other night. I was hooting and hollering, but he was...
It's spot on, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, he does. And I asked him, and he says, you know, you're not fooling anybody. He says, you're
tell him not to tell Bally's that.
Yeah. He said, you're not fooling. You know, he said, it just sounds ridiculous if they're getting, you know. And one reason he's so good at it is he's in practice. He's had a lot of practice when these guys have had embarrassing defeats, right?
I think the solo thing, too, because Al had the same thing. I think when you work alone, the truth has to come out.
Yes.
Like, you can't just sit there and BS.
No. Yes, it does. And Ralph, and they tried to slip Ralphie in with Al there at the end.
Al on the road was great, though.
Yeah, Al by himself.
Yeah, this is disgusting. What the heck are they doing out there? Sharply gave up that puck. That's terrible.
Al's still going. Al lost his beloved wife 3-4 years ago, but he's living in a... I think a senior living place,
He's in his 90s, right?
Living, yeah. He's in his 90s, but they love that Vancouver Island, you know, that place up there. He didn't go south. He went north. He went back home, and God, he was good.
He quit young, too.
Yeah.
He was 60.
Well, yeah, he wasn't going to go to Dallas.
No, he was 60-something, and he said, I'm done.
They wanted him bad, and he said, nah, I'm not going. And the great thing about Al is he tried to do baseball, and he decided he was terrible, and he quit.
After what?
A month, maybe.
It was like a very brief salience.
He said, I'm no good at this. I mean, let somebody else do it.
Yep.
He had great self.
And this is when pace of game was quick.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Now Al would be out after 3 innings. He'd say, this is crap.
Yeah, Al was, they were trying to, CCO was trying to take advantage of his popularity and put him on the broadcast, and I don't know who had left then, Merle Harmon or somebody maybe before Merle Harmon. I don't know.
Well, Al tried it. Christensen tried it.
I don't know if they. I don't know what happened with Christensen. Christensen, was an old baseball guy. He did the Millers for WLOL or the Saints, maybe.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know
that. Yeah, he did baseball, but he wasn't. Al was. Ray was. He wasn't. He was. You got him and Herbie. You got two guys who are too much the same. You know, he didn't have a, He didn't have the loose gay. When you got Herbie being the straight man, you know, you don't need two straight men.
Right.
So that didn't work out. I can't remember who they replaced him with. Herbie survived a lot of them, though. Larry Kelton.
I was going to ask you, when was the
one? One and done. Wasn't he one and done, right?
Well, I think so. And didn't he promise that they would...
If they weren't going to draw... This was after they drew 600-some thousand. If they didn't draw a million, he would... Herbie hated him. Herbie just hated him. He was a jiver.
There were two guys that Herbie didn't like him. And at least initially, Herbie and Joe Angel didn't...
No, he didn't like Joe either. He didn't. Joe was too over the top, too. You know, I like Joe. Joe is a decent guy. Joe had a long run in Baltimore.
That's what I was going to say. Joe lasted a long time in the big leagues.
That was a good move for him to get back and go to Baltimore. And you know how Herbie got here? He was with Ernie Harwell in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. It was his partner. Mm-hmm. And they both left because they changed beers. They I can't remember what beer they wore, but they switched the shape, I think. Brought the guy who bought the team. Mm-hmm. They switched beers, and they thought back then the broadcasters were so associated to the beers because that's what they drank.
It's
they
like me now.
That's you'd be willing to go from Youngling to some other beer.
Surly, I'm pure Surly now.
Surly guy. That's right. Yep. You dropped Youngling for
I dropped like a bad habit.
Bad habit, but. But, yeah, they've switched beers, so Herbie needed a new job. And Bob Wolf, the first year out of Washington, Bob Wolf had done the Washington games, the team, and he didn't like it out here, and his wife didn't like it. So he went back, and they had an opening, and Herbie was looking for a job. That's how he got here.
Yeah, and Herbie did Vikings on TV at one point, too, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Back when back when there was only
Scott did the Packers, right?
There was only one game a day, and there was a regional. I mean, one game on Sunday, and you got a regional telecast. Yeah, you got that. So, but I'm thinking, was Ray Scott the first year then? Was he 61 to 66? Was he with Bob Wolf? I think he might have been.
He probably was, yeah, because it was probably Halsey. And
he
Ray
just started
and
making
Wolf.
Too much money at CBS, which is unfortunate because he was, a hell of a baseball announcer. Hell of a baseball.
He was good, and he had the great pipes back in the day.
I always felt bad that late in his career, he was doing a sports talk show over somewhere in Wisconsin because he was, I think Ray did a pretty good job of not keeping his money. And then he started that bar downtown. So he was
Ray Scott's right across from the strip.
Still working.
Yep.
And I wrote that column about when the Packer fans were all Jim McMahon threw the pass at Erie Gulliford, wasn't it? When McMahon threw the pass against Gulliford?
Yes.
And the Vikings are going to lose. And all of a sudden, Erie Gulliford appeared wide open, scored the only pass he ever caught for the Vikings, right?
Yes.
Won the game. They put him on the two or something, and they kicked a field goal to win the game. And the Packer fans were suggesting that he'd sneaked off the sideline, that Gulliford had sneaked off the sideline. So I wrote a column that there's now evidence he hid behind Denny Green so nobody could see him. And then he sneaked down the sideline and he came out and we had a diagram of it. What year was it?
93?
I got the Strib artist to do a diagram of it, right?
Right before Moon. I vaguely recall this, yes.
A diagram of it and we showed where Gulliford sneaked on the field. And, it was pre-internet, but I got 100 letters from Packer fans telling me I was a jackass. Ray went with it. Ray was a little older. I'd heard that Ray went with it, that it was that there was now being reported in Minnesota that Gulliford had indeed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Ray went with it. I felt bad about that, so.
I mean, it's a great idea, by the way.
Yeah, it was. It was back then when you could agitate.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And people had to write letters, which they were much less likely to, to, to do than tweet at you and say, you're an idiot.
And when I was in St. Paul, I had a co-conspirator, Tim Van Ness was the artist. Mm-hmm. And this is back when the newsrooms were so fully staffed. He was there on Sunday nights. We had an artist there to get photos if they needed to be cropped or whatever you needed. We had an artist there, Tim. And Tim, God love him, I'm sure he's still around somewhere. I don't know where he went. But Tim and a couple other guys used to go up on the roof and maybe enjoy a little toke once in a while up there on the...
That'd be very newspaper-like.
Yeah, on a Sunday night.
Absolutely.
You know, nobody around.
Absolutely.
But I'd go in there with... So Sunday nights is when you could do very irreverent stuff writing columns because there was no editors around. You know, it was just... That's when I did the Lou Holtz putting a little gopher on the Music Man hat, the look-alike, or the Music Man look-alike contest. We did that on a Sunday night. We did the purple triangle with all the DWIs. We did that on a Sunday night, too.
So you knew when you were going to work your magic.
Yeah, right. Well, because, you know, if you try to do something that during the week, some editor's going to say, no,
right.
No. The purple triangle. But, Tim, we worked for 2 hours, like, making the chart and making the little map of where the DWIs and little helmets with the number on it where they got the DWIs. Oh God, they were not happy with me at Winter Park for a couple of weeks after that one. They were not happy. But 13 DWIs in 18 months, that was pretty impressive.
Yep.
Yeah, that was back now. They might have had 13 more, but we won't know it because the first call they make now is to the security people to start covering it up, right?
Yes, yes. But yeah, that's when they started to crack down on the corridor, right? Like they started to finally crack down on guys going home on the freeway,
mm-hmm.
And it became. I remember that stretch was incredible. I think wasn't it Hassan Jones who got busted? He decided that he wasn't going to drive. He was going to sleep in his car, but he left his keys in the ignition.
Yeah, I could have. I don't.
Yeah,
know.
I think that was Hassan, and so he got busted for that.
But the purple triangle was advising the public to stay away from this area from what was it 8 p.m. Thursday till 10 a.m. Monday or some damn thing. Stay out of this area because you might run into a drunk Viking.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, those things are, wouldn't, you know, somebody would have to put in there, you must explain to people that this is satire.
Right.
You know?
So, yes, yeah, yes. Yeah, it wouldn't be worth doing anymore.
We.
So you tweet it now.
Yeah, you just tweet it.
You can tweet it out now.
Yeah, you do. Anyway. So what else we got going on? Baseball today, deadline. Woo!
Yeah, how about that?
You know what it is? It's just the players know it's just another threat that, because when they settle in 2 weeks, if they settle in 2 weeks, they'll get full pay anyway. The part of the deal of them coming back will be get full pay.
Journalistically, though, why do these guys carry, some of them, not all, why do they carry the water for baseball? Manfred, the owners. Like Heyman tweeted last night, there might be, we could have an agreement. You're not going to have an agreement today.
And the players are just as.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, why does anybody bother with even taking sides?
I turned on MLB last night and had the misfortune of having Harold giving us his insights.
Okay.
And the great thing about Harold's insights is. Generally, in a 5-minute period, he will contradict himself 4 or 5 times, right?
Uh-huh.
He'll say this, and then he'll say that. But you never really learn anything. But him and his partner both agreed because neither side had given out any information yesterday. That was a good sign. I don't know why. But, it's you got everybody who's really covered it saying the same things. You know,
yes.
There was some progress.
Yeah.
There was some progress. There was no progress. No progress today.
They almost didn't meet on Sunday.
Yeah. They went backwards. They went backwards Friday, Saturday, okay, they agreed to meet, but they didn't want to. Sunday, well, we made progress. It's all based on...
And there might be an agreement at some point soon.
Yes.
And then today it'll break down. There was no agreement. No.
Today the owners will
drives you crazy.
Have they walked out yet?
Not that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
No, and they supposedly met. We were very pleased because I think they went back for like two sessions yesterday.
Well, yeah, but it also,
a little lunch
generally speaking,
yeah,
the meetings have started at 1.
Okay.
But today they started at 10 a.m., so we were supposed to really think that this was
And why
be.
Are we meeting in a ballpark, by the way? Just go to a damn hotel conference.
Right.
They're meeting in Jupiter at the ballpark.
Saving money, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. You're probably right, cheap bastards. You're probably right.
A lot of so what with the players? It's just who's ever wanted to show up showed up. Is that it?
There might be part of a committee too, though, because I think Scherzer's on because he's going a bunch. Zach Britton,
Taylor's our guy, right? Taylor.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
Player rep.
Duffy there. I thought Duffy was tweeting stuff about or was saying something.
There's a committee that's definitely going to.
Here's the bottom line. Athletes, you can complain about salaries going down 4% in the last 5 years.
Yep.
There is nothing that can be done to get the new management of baseball to give 5-year contracts to 32-year-old position players.
Correct.
Yeah. The days of Alfred, the days of any, even a great guy like Albert Pujols.
Right.
Is striking it rich at age 32 are over.
Yeah.
And, you know, and really,
they should be.
They don't have steroids anymore.
Right.
And they also know they don't like the idea. Now, with a pitcher, they'll do it. But they don't like the idea of having no. Okay, it used to be you'd sign a guy to a 10-year contract or an 8-year contract, and you know you weren't going to get much the last four.
Right.
They're not doing that anymore. You know, it's not because they want younger, cheaper players. It's why they want younger, more productive players.
But here's what I don't get. Since free agency started in 1976, right? Since it started, it's been 6 years. So yes. So you are under why aren't they just going after that? That's what I would go after, 4 years. And then,
well, they're not getting four, but maybe five.
Okay, but I mean something. It's been 40 some odd years, Pat.
That's what they should have come in and said: 5-year free agency, and everything else is the same.
Yeah,
that's what they.
But
should
I
have
want
done.
The kids. I want the guys in their first contracts to be able to sign elsewhere sooner.
Yeah, I don't even know what the bonus pool. What is that? What are they talking
about?
Well,
and then they've got the soft salary cap, which is what, the CTB?
Yeah.
And
they want that to go up.
Yeah.
There. But
and the, yes.
Who's it been?
Players want that to go way up.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, teams are staying away from the luxury tax trying to do it. That, you know, that's what does make it difficult in the defense of baseball is there's no salary cap, so there's no ceiling.
Right.
There's no point at which management can say, we can't do that because we got a salary cap.
Right.
And there's, in baseball, it's more difficult, that's for sure. And the other thing, I think I said this last week, we give them a lot of heat about the way they pay their minor leaguers. Well, guess what football plays its minor leaguers? Zero.
Because colleges are paying
zero
them.
Pay. They pay for them to come to the combine.
Yeah.
Or the Senior Bowl.
Yes.
That's all they do.
Yes.
Yes. They're making billions, and they don't have to pay, and we're paying for their minor league system. So we're paying for colleges to exist,
mm-hmm.
So we're paying for their minor league system.
Mm-hmm.
As people always say, well, like the Gophers, football's profitable. Yes. In that case, why don't they pay for some of these big buildings that create a campus? You know, we provided football with a campus.
Right.
with a college. We provided them with the college. So the idea that football is profitable is nonsense. You know, if they, you know, the state of Minnesota is supposed to give them another $1 billion over at the university. They should say, okay, but we want half the football money. We want half the Big Ten network money,
mm-hmm.
you know, something like
Which
that.
Which is ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so we pay for the NFL's minor league system. So it's,
yes.
And baseball.
And it works out great for the NFL.
Yes, it does. It certainly does.
They're very
does.
Happy with how it's working
and
out.
And even that way, they don't have guaranteed contracts.
Oh, they're incredible.
The only thing that can really save baseball management is if the union would hire D. Morris Smith as the head of the union, then maybe they'd have a chance to really screw him, right?
Yeah, Tony Clark ain't no great shakes, but D. Smith, I think, would be... It is... The way that those guys get steamrolled is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen for an industry that is absolutely printing money.
Oh, God, it's unbelievable. I went over and took a look at Ziggy's Hotel when I was out there the other day.
Yeah, you told me that.
Not real full yet, but, you know, it's, they got building. They're building stuff out there. It's mm-hmm. That's a nice real estate.
He's done well for himself.
Yeah, well, first of all, he stole the land.
Yes.
But they gave him like...
Because Northwest abandoned it.
Yeah, they gave him like $30 million or something, right? Yeah. I mean, that land's got to be worth...
That thing's a palace out there. I mean,
God, it is unbelievable.
Palace.
Yeah, that field house is... Bud said, look at this roof.
But I mean, you just look at the building itself. It's got... Yeah. It's like a college campus.
Yeah, Bud was saying... Look at all that wasted space up there just so a guy can punt.
Punch, yeah. Because yeah. They got sick of it bouncing off the roof at the place in Eden Prairie. But that place is incredible. And the Wilfs have done just fine, thank you.
So a courageous comeback for the Woodbury B1 12 and under girls team yesterday, taking my granddaughter off the hook.
Uh-oh, what happened?
1-1. Second period, I think it was second period.
Yeah.
There's a puck going past her, right? And she's going to try to knock it down and, you know, play it at her feet, right?
Okay.
She tried to give a little whack with the stick. Goes the wrong direction in the net.
No, she tipped it.
Didn't tip it. It was probably 20 feet, but it misdirected right into the corner of the net.
Mm.
So she made a little slap at it and to stop it.
I hope the goaltender was upset.
They all told her to shake it off. It was, you know, don't forget about it.
Sports today, yeah.
And forget about it. But after the game, she said they all told me to forget it, but I couldn't stop thinking about it the whole game. But 3 goals in the last 12 minutes, and the fought back from a 3-1 deficit and won 4-3. So then to win whatever the hell it was.
Look at you now, Mr.
Some
Hockey.
Kind of a section, yes. Yeah, some kind of a sectional
it's
tournament.
A big win.
And now they got to go over, and to go to the state, they got to play the Dino, Wayzata, Minnetonka type of people in a 6-team tournament.
Rich people.
Yeah, because Woodbury,
Woodbury's got some money.
Everybody thinks Woodbury's cake eaters, but they got the non-cake eaters, too.
They're
not
Edina.
No. They don't have
So is this Pee-wee you said, or what's
12
the,
and under.
What's the level of 12 and under
12
these days?
And under, I don't even know what they describe.
Because I think we've changed names, right?
Yeah, this is 12-year-old B-girls.
Okay, because I think there were some formally inconsiderate, politically incorrect names.
Bantam, Pee-wee, Squirts.
Midget, I think, got taken out.
Midget did get taken out. Canada, I believe, still has Midget.
Though. I mean, I like the name.
Midget's 15, though, right?
I don't know. Dex might
no,
know.
No, that's Bantam.
Bantam?
Okay.
What was Midget? Midget was 16, maybe, because I think Midget was higher
older?
Than... Higher than...
I don't remember
if you,
anymore.
If you,
oh, you're...
In Canada.
You're correct, Pat. Midget's 15 to 17.
So there you
okay.
go.
Okay.
And yeah.
yeah.
Bantam is 13, 14.
Yeah. We don't there use we midgets anymore.
Pee-wee no. still or no?
Yeah. No. Well, they use ages, I think, now. They use okay. ages, but they might, you know, I think the Bantam is still like a big deal.
Okay.
The Bantam tournament.
Yep.
And but the A team there, Johnny, I think that's Johnny Poles, the chief recruiter for that. And some of those young ladies might be directed towards Hill Murray, where Johnny's
you don't
the,
say.
Johnny's the athletic director. So
you don't say.
So you know. So, but what that does is with Johnny's aggressive assembling of a talent.
Yeah.
There's three or four players on my granddaughter's team who are really good, who probably should be A-teamers, but we might have spread out the borders of
we're redrawing district lines. I've seen that before.
Yeah, I think
that was a big Minnetonka controversy when I was a small kid.
We've redrawn the district
we're
lines.
We'll put a little nook in here.
Yeah, and... but his brother coaches Abby's team. He's really good.
Really?
What's his name?
Mark Brooks?
No. Johnny Pohl's brother?
Johnny Pohl's brother.
Yeah, his brother played. Did he play for the Gophers for a...
He played college hockey. I know. I'm not sure where. I think it's Mark. I'm not sure. I met him the other day, but I can't remember what his name is. But I tell you what, they take it serious, those coaches, man.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Eric Pohl.
I don't think so. Is it Eric?
No, well, his brother Eric played, was his teammate and roommate at the University of Minnesota.
Okay, all right, Eric.
There was an
okay.
Eric with a K.
Huh?
Eric with a K, E-R-I-K.
Okay. Yeah, okay, he's a good coach. They play okay, but...
No. Eric is Chrissy Wendell's brother who introduced Paul.
Oh, okay.
Because Eric played for the Gophers.
By her brother, got it, yep.
I remember him.
Okay.
But I don't remember his brother's name.
I think it might be Mark. I don't know. Anyway, it was fun. Gives me something to do on a Sunday.
I never would have thought that you would someday be attending hockey of any sort on a Sunday. Mark is correct.
Mark, you know who was there yesterday? My granddaughter's 97-year-old grandmother. That is family loyalty, isn't it?
Yeah, 97.
97.
In a time of COVID,
And if her and I had had a race to get out of the arena with bad knees, it would have been a tie.
Oh, I was going to say, did she win?
I tried to climb over some bleacher seats and fell on my fat face because my knees are so bad these days.
Why are you trying to climb over? I don't try and climb over.
I just wanted to go up a row because a bunch of...
Yeah, you know what you do? Go to the end of the row, go up the stairs.
A bunch of 12-year-old boys, 11-year-old boys came in and sat next to me and were babbling nonsense.
That's what 11-year-old boys do.
I know they do. I told you, what I've learned from being around youth hockey and on that trip to Duluth and War Road is with the 12-year-old girls, someone is going to say, nah, that's not a good idea. With 11-year-old boys, somebody's going to say, I got a better bad idea.
I'll one-up you. I did that.
I got a better bad idea.
Yeah, take your bad idea and let me show you.
I'll trump that one.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
What a world, though. It's a world that I'd only heard existed. But when they make these trips, Fargo just had a tournament this weekend. Or last weekend, 80 teams, something like that, from all around the Midwest for squirts or something, and they got a.
Are there enough hotels
international,
for that?
I don't know, but
that seems like an extraordinary ask on hotels.
Yes, but they are also very profitable because they jack up War Road. They jack up their hotel prices for a hockey tournament like Mardi Gras in New Orleans, for God's sake.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a big industry, hockey tournaments. You know, hockey tournaments.
And what's the hotel amount of hotel rooms in like War Road has to be pretty small too. There can't be a plethora of available rooms.
Two and then a new Comfort Inn. Well, the guy who owns the hotel that's been up there forever is Izzy Marvin, who's coached War Road to the girls' Class A title. He's been the girls' coach.
And is that
there.
Gigi's?
Yes.
I think it's
their dad.
Dad? I don't know. I don't know because there are a ton of that.
Yeah, there are Marvins all over the place.
That family is all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a collection. But Izzy's
because she said she has a cousin on that team that just won state.
Oh, I'm sure.
She said her cousin was a senior.
I was talking to Dave. When I was up there, not personally, I just called him or somebody, and he said, there isn't a team, or somebody up there told me, there isn't a team from high school to 6 years old that doesn't have a niece, nephew, grand cousin, niece, or cousin.
I buy that.
Because there's I think the original Marvin family had 12 kids. Wow. And then they started spreading out. And Cal, the godfather of hockey up there, who's Dave's dad, wasn't in on the windows.
That's what it is, yeah.
There's two different.
That's right.
Cal was in the resort business.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's a different branch. But Cal, I went up and did a long piece on Cal. I think he died in the late 90s, so maybe early 2000s. But in the mid-90s, I went up there and did a long piece on Cal. And it basically started North Dakota hockey. Mm-hmm. Cal, Marvin, and these guys came back from World War II. You know, these War Road guys came back from where they all fought in World War II. They came back. They went to North Dakota. They wanted to play hockey. So Cal was their first coach played.
Wow.
He was at 46, 47, something like that.
Right.
They started. I think the official start of North Dakota hockey is 48.
Okay.
But I think Cal was in on building the old Quonset Hut, but maybe not. Maybe it was already there. He was in on building the old War Memorial Arena that War Road played in forever until mm-hmm. they built this place.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is really nice. Marvin Gardens, Marvin family, the windows people basically paid for it.
Interesting.
Up there. Yeah, it's but Rosso, they're done already. I don't know if they're playing A or still trying to play double A, but they I was looking at the scores in the regional, the boys' regionals up there, and they got beat before the semifinals. So
really,
yeah. So well, I don't know.
The sport has changed, where you do have more talent spread out now, which is good.
Yeah.
But that's interesting because you got
now those towns. I think Roseau and War Road, because of the industry they have up the Polaris and Marvin Windows and stuff, I think they're maintaining their population, you know, the Iron Range is going to hell.
Right.
You know, the Iron Range just doesn't have as many people in the town. Well, I don't want to say going to hell. I still enjoy going up there, but it's not, you know.
Not populated like it once was.
Doesn't have, the towns are a lot smaller than they were.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have Eveleth in Virginia starting one high school.
Yep.
Rock Ridge.
Yep.
The aptly named Rock Ridge. We don't want the Irish. So, anyway.
All right.
Anyway, Motzka's team, they might win it.
That's what you keep saying.
They might win it. Ben Myers has just been out of this world since he came back from the Olympics. Yeah,
he came back and had, against Penn State, had a couple goals in that game, and then I think he had
whatever day the season ends, whatever season.
He's a free agent, too.
Every day the season ends, 2 days later, because he can join somebody,
yes,
right?
He can sign and join.
But he has to... If he wants to be playoff eligible, he'd have to sign before March 21st.
Okay.
So if he signs after then,
oh, really?
Then he can't be eligible for an NHL playoff roster.
Is that right? Why did they do that? Just to keep the price from being too high?
No sport, though, has talent fall through the cracks like this sport does. There are more. There's always a small group, but they're really good, of college kids who didn't get drafted.
Yes.
And it's what? Seven rounds, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a small draft, but... You always have this group of kids.
Yeah. Well, you got some of them who got drafted contracts. And then didn't get signed, right? Don't you have 3 years to sign them or something? Three or 4 years to sign them?
That's true, too.
And they, I don't know. Did Myers ever get drafted? He might have.
I don't think he did. I don't think he did. I think he fell through the cracks.
But he's going to be the hot ticket. But, yeah, okay, Declan, I didn't know that. So, obviously, that is to keep the price down, right?
I think
because
so.
Because teams... You know, Broughton came and played for the North Stars, right?
Yes.
Right out of...
The Olympics.
Right. Now, that was...
And Ken Morrow played Islanders right out of the Olympics.
So, if you're drafted...
Then you probably... And at that time, the rules didn't... Because Pat, if you could go back, Broughton came from the Olympics. I want to say, didn't Kristoff as well?
Yeah, I think so.
And he signed, and he was drafted... So it might have been different at the time, too.
Yeah, well, it just this
that
just
rule
had,
probably got.
This just happened recently, right, Declan? The change to March 21st.
Yeah, I think it was recent.
Yeah,
because
they've signed guys in the past that went right into the playoffs.
Because Cal McCarr did that with the Avs. I mean, he went from.
So in other words, it's okay to trade for guys on March 23rd, but you can't.
No. 21st is it. So that's a transactional deadline.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So like your roster at that point all would have to come from internal moves.
So, well, this definitely keeps the price down for a kid like Ben Myers because he's going to obviously not leave the Gophers.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You know, when they're trying to win the unless
and if they do win it, they owe Jack LaFontaine a big thank you. That will have been the best thing because and Carolina screwed that kid.
Oh, they did.
I mean, I don't care how much he got paid. They screwed him. He is destined to be now in Chicago
for the rest
forever.
Of his life. Here's the maybe the ECHL. You
yeah,
know?
You're right.
But
good point.
Here's the deal, though. Uh-huh. He was not playing as well this year as he was last year.
Right.
And, you know, he was probably not sure what his fate was going to be at the end of the season. This was his chance to get signed.
But, so, I mean, they still came to him at a terrible time.
Well.
Hey, kid, sign.
Tony, totally classless because they didn't tell the coach.
Yeah.
You know?
And they didn't.
You got to know a guy like Motzkow is, you got to know the college coaches. And you got to know that Motzkow is not going to start pressuring the kid.
Right.
To stay. But you got to give him a heads up that you're stealing his goalie, don't you?
And they needed him, Pat, for like a week. Like they had guys hurt, and so I think they were down to a goaltender left in their system.
Yes.
And so they basically did this to get him for a week.
Yeah, right.
And then he was screwed.
Yeah, and he played one game and gave up. He played one.
He came in as a replacement
and gave up two,
a few,
and then he played one, started one, and gave up seven, and that's it. He might never see the NHL again.
Yep.
Yeah. Goalies, though, man. They're
a flaky bunch. They're great.
I was trying to determine, you know, I still think quarterback in the NFL is the most, you know, most influential. But what level of goaltending, if you're really good, what do you need? Motzkow says you still can't win with an average goaltender, even if you're really good.
You probably can't win a championship.
You got to be a... Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
And it's one game, too, so you're really screwed.
You need an above-average goaltender.
Yes.
But then if you have a great goaltender and a bad team, that's not going to work either. So you need a good team with a good goalie, right?
Yeah.
Not one that's
But
you can't have one
you got to get hot.
You know, who's playing well.
Yeah.
But you can't be like Doobie and be good for 3 weeks and then all of a sudden
the great thing about
you can't give up six bad ones in a six game series, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know,
and the great thing about this kid is the pressure was very low because basically they just said go play.
Yeah. Well, they did bring in this kid from juniors, you know, Bartoszkiewicz, because they weren't sure, you know.
Kids had the bench all year.
Hey, they needed a second goalie, but his first weekend, they split with Alaska.
Yep.
And when they lost the game, he had 12 saves and they gave up three goals. So no matter how confident they were, they still had to wonder, right?
Sure.
And then they split with Notre Dame and split with Michigan and they haven't lost since.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now his goals against getting how did Wisconsin get so rotten?
I don't know, but they went in the crapper, didn't they?
Terrible. They were supposed to be good, isn't? Didn't we think
Granato got them good for a few?
Tony Granato, the coach of the U.S. junior team, or something?
They were terrible. He came there, turned them around, and now they're bad again.
Yeah, they're terrible.
I don't know what happened to them.
Michigan State is really developing a tradition for being rotten too, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Michigan's good. Notre Dame is ordinarily, I think, pops up as being good.
Yeah, they're okay.
And the Gophers. Jeff Jackson can coach.
He's a very good coach.
Mm-hmm. He's a crazed man, but he can coach.
That's hockey, as you were just talking about, Daryl Sutter.
He's got some
Daryl said the only hockey, the only sport left where a coach can be nuts.
Yep.
And tell his players how rotten they are.
The best story about...
The only one left.
About Daryl was there was a road game towards the end of his time with the Kings. And he was outside doing the post game stuff, and the players hated him so much they actually jimmied the door. I think they put a chair,
right.
And he couldn't get in. And he's like pounding on the door, and they wouldn't let him in his own locker room.
Declan, that's when it was Declan, over. You know I've been to the farm, don't you? And at biking, didn't I tell you that?
No, I think I did. I think I did know that.
Yeah,
yes.
Dad wouldn't come in to talk to you.
I've been to the farm,
favorite.
And Mom, what the hell is Mom's name?
God. Gracie, right?
Gracie, yeah, Gracie.
Gracie Sue.
And the old man was out on the tractor in the spring and wouldn't come in and talk to me.
Viking, Alberta,
but,
baby, that's
but
great.
But Mike, the one brother,
yep.
The one brother who didn't play
yep.
in the league.
Yep.
Was there and a nice guy and but that's when I went to the bar in town and they they told me that they were talking about hockey and Gretzky. We always wanted Gracie to get together with Gretzky.
Oh, with Walter Gretzky.
With Walter Gretzky, and then we could have a superstar who went in the corner.
Yes.
In the bar in Viking. So it was that was worth it. That was the only good part of that four game series.
How far was that?
Less than an hour, maybe.
Oh, really? From,
maybe,
okay,
maybe
so it's
a little
close.
Over, but
because it's a small little town,
well,
right?
Oh, and a prairie, man. You could have gotten that car and fallen asleep, and if you had the steering wheel set, you wouldn't have had a, you know, just basically, it's like South Dakota to the Black Hills.
I love the fact that Dad wouldn't come in and talk to you.
No, Dad was he was out in the tractor, man. He was
that family probably has some interesting things.
Well,
in there.
they played their boot hockey upstairs in the barn. Upstairs in a barn, and they had rafters yeah. and stuff, and some tales of bloodshed taking place.
You think Dad had a belt? My guess is Dad had a belt.
And when the Suter boys played 3-on-3, one of them was sure to come into the house crying
oh,
with an
yeah.
eight-stitch cut on their forehead.
Well, Daryl was the second oldest, right? Because
yeah.
it was Brian played for the Blues. And he was a cantankerous. He's good. Daryl, Dwayne, there was Rich and Ron.
Yeah, Richie,
the
Ron,
twins.
Rich, Ron, and
you
the
guys.
Twins. And I don't know who the sixth. Who was Daryl the best player? Was Daryl the best player?
I think
the twins. The twins.
Daryl was
good.
Daryl was good. No, yeah, but the twins didn't achieve the success. I think Brian might have been ultimately the best.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and Dwayne was with the Islanders, and he won a few cups with them.
Yeah, and who's the sixth? Mike is there? No, Mike is the
no,
kid
Mike
that
is
didn't
the one
play.
Who
I
didn't
can't
play.
Remember who the sixth.
I'll find it. I'll
How
find
is
it.
That possible? That six of them
from a small
end
town
up in
Viking,
the
Alberta.
Yeah, the six brothers wind up in the league.
I'll find
it's
it
incredible.
Here. Hold on, I'll find
I
it.
I suppose the thing is, when you signed a Sutter, you knew what you were getting.
Oh yeah,
a guy will hit you with a stick if you don't.
It'd be
watch
great
it.
Players to have, right?
Yeah.
So Brian, Daryl, Dwayne, Brent.
Brent, that's
Brent,
right.
Who played
Brent
with Dwayne on the Islanders.
Brent wasn't a bad player either, was he?
And,
he was pretty.
And then Rich and Ron,
Rich and
were,
Ron
the twins.
Were the babies. That's when Gracie said the hell with it, huh?
Yes.
And she shut her down.
And Rich and Ron,
Mike,
I think
was the oldest.
And didn't Rich and Ron come as a package deal? I think they started with the Flyers or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
like inseparable.
Unreal. I'll have to look. I think that I was still in St. Paul then, though. That's probably
the worst
one of those
thing,
columns I can't find.
The worst thing that I ever saw at a North Star game or among them was it was an afternoon game between the Blackhawks and North Stars. And Doug Wilson, who had a freaking cannon slap
yeah.
shot, took a slap shot. It got deflected into Daryl's face.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen so much blood in my life.
Is that right?
They hauled him off. I think he spent like a week in the hospital.
I thought you were going to say they put 32 stitches in him and he came
back and
played.
No, I think they hauled him out.
Okay, wow.
No, it was bad.
Oh, man, they were something. Imagine how many games they played. The family. God almighty. Had to be.
I've got it right here.
10,000.
I've got it right here. So in the regular season.
No.
They played a combined 4,994, but in the playoffs, 603 more, because they all played in playoff games.
Wow.
And three of them played in more than 100 playoff games.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's not too bad a career.
Gracie was a nice gal. She was very nice to me, because I basically called her up the night before and said, can I come out to the farm? And she said, where are you from? Minneapolis, St. Paul. And she said, I suppose. What the hell? So she worked in town. They had a house in town.
Yeah.
So she could get to work if they got a snowstorm. So,
oh, okay.
So they had a little house in town for excess kids, I suppose, when trying to get out of farm work or something, but they had a little house in town to go with the farmhouse. So, and yeah, I don't know. It was great though. It was fantastic. Viking Alberta, amazing.
Hockey people, man. They are the best.
They are the greatest. I love hockey people. Don't love hockey? Love hockey people. They're the greatest.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.